When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we roll into hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, leading you up until the K Show at 3 o'clock. And we are, it's Wednesday, so we always have a full buffet on Wednesdays in the final hour, and we just go around the world. I mean, we talk about everything. We've had our topics that we've gotten into. Maybe there's something that you want to get into with us. And as you know with Bart, that means we can pretty much go anywhere, which I think have included so far, which it, we did the dating sites thing and dating site nightmares, right?
Yeah.
You did that. You did the how many times thing, which not everybody was comfortable with. But apparently people wanted to share that with me yesterday as I walked around the Barclays Center.
Five times,
yo,
bro.
Yo, Han, yo, one down, five. Five, I'm like, what do you mean five? Five times. Five times what? He goes, you know what I mean. Five times. You know you and Bar. I was like, oh,
I got
I didn't need to know that.
I got Festina twice, and I got Palmetta three times, son. One day, B.
There's things that I'm like, I didn't need, and now I'm seeing your face, and I can't, like, I don't. Don't want to know these
got
things.
That dog in me, son.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently.
You don't know what you're about to find out.
No, so, I'm not.
So before we get to calls, can we look right now at the top of the East? Oh, I never paid this off. Let's pay this off first. I'm sorry. Sauce Gardner. Before we get to the NBA stuff, I want to see what you think of this. Sauce Gardner was answering some type of a question, you know, what name a free agent no one's talking about that the Jets should sign. And so he jumped into the conversation and he said, Calvin Ridley and T. Higgins.
Yep.
First thing I'm going to ask you is he answering this with any knowledge or just personal preference?
He wouldn't know. They don't disclose that type of information to players. Especially not one so young in his career. Maybe that's a conversation they have with Aaron Rodgers when they're trying to make their board, but nah, that's not something they would dispel to Sauce.
Now, it's interesting because the question isn't name a wide receiver. It's a free agent no one's talking about that the Jets should sign. And it's interesting that Sauce went right to wide receivers.
Of course, that's exactly what they're because everybody knows that's who they're going to get. Everybody knows that.
Okay, so there's that. If what I'm saying is that Sauce Gardner didn't say, you know, name a tackle like he didn't go that direction. You know, Trent Williams or whatever it is. Like he didn't say anything like that. He went right to wide receivers. Now he would know them because he defends them in practice and all that, but. I guess it also he's saying free agent, so he wouldn't have mentioned Davante Adams there because Davante is not a free agent.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Davante would be the obvious target for this team because it's a trade. But can you see the Jets trying to get in on Calvin Ridley or T. Higgins?
I mean, T. Higgins is a big fish. That's the $20 million annually guy. You know, that's the $100 million receiver. Ridley may come at a slightly discounted price, maybe smaller. But he's still going to be bring more than maybe Gabe Davis, or he's going to bring more than a guy like Tyler Boyd. But it's receivers out there. Who knows? Maybe it's Hollywood Brown. You know what I mean? But it's got to be a significant upgrade, somebody that can complement. You know, they thought that Alan Lazard was going to be that big possession, good blocking guy. And that still may be the case, but they need somebody that can go out and get separation and make big plays down the field. They understand that. They recognize that. They're not taking Alan Lazard as, like, that's our guy. They're trying to replace Corey Davis, who gave them big play ability but was often hurt. So it's a lot of guys out there. You still got, like I said, Gabe Davis, Hollywood Brown, but these two names are definitely two names that should be in consideration. If you can get T. Higgins. I just think T. Higgins eventually stops you from signing Garrett Wilson. But if you have an opportunity to sign somebody for a third year, because just think, like, I think A.J. Brown's going to stop, you know, Philadelphia from being able to sign Devontae Smith. What? I think Tyreek Hill is going to prevent them. You can't put $40 million in two players in the same position.
Uh-huh. No, and that explains why, of course, T. Higgins is available. Like,
because they decided Jamar Chase.
Right. They took care of their guy already, so it's just
– But they ain't paid Jamar yet, I don't think. They haven't paid Jamar yet, but they know that they're not going to pay T. Higgins because they have to pay Jamar the year after.
And Joe Burrow obviously have that connection. So it's just
– Exactly.
That's the obvious thing to do. All right. Well, definitely something interesting, but I just found it interesting that Sauce Gardner would go there. 800-919-3776. Let's take Dave in the car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys? Wanted to bounce something off of you. You know, I look at the situation in Dallas. I look at the situation in Buffalo. I mean, Josh Allen is a bit more of a runner and athletic. But, you know, I really do believe that game planning and execution could have made a huge difference for Dallas and the Bills to be playing this week. That being said, and looking at the aggressive move that the Milwaukee Bucks are taking, Right. Okay, and considering the shrinking windows, these windows seem to shrink in the NFL like almost every 1.5 to 3 years.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you at least, even if you can do it on the QT, why wouldn't you want to interview someone like a Belichick? Because I'm standing by this. I look at the last 3 years of the Dallas Cowboys, two, if not three, out of the last 3 years in the playoffs, it was the execution that lost the game for them.
Yeah, the problem.
Am I wrong?
The problem right now with a guy like, say, Bill Belichick is that he consumes a lot. He's going to demand a lot because he's earned the right to say that. And the thing is, sometimes with that, now I would say, like I said before, the guy that I would think that could change the culture, because it's not a talent acquisition thing when you think about Dallas. They're not getting those guys to punch above their weight class. If you want the Bill Belichick type of effect where you're going to have discipline, tough, never be out schemed and out prepared, you go with Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel, when he
went against Bill Belichick, outbilled Bill so much so that they had to change the rule next year because he kept making this guy jump off sides to eat the clock up, and Bill kept making him trying to accept the penalty, and he wouldn't accept it, and they changed the rule the next year. That's a guy but that's also a guy that's his own man because he never coached underneath Bill. He just was coached by Bill, so he knows all those lessons. You never said that Tennessee – you can say that Tennessee underneath Ryan Tannehill has always exceeded expectations. That's a team that went into Buffalo and beat Buffalo in Buffalo. That's a team that has gone into Kansas City and beaten Kansas City when they clearly didn't have as much talent as they did, but they're tough. Dallas is a lack of grit. And being able to fight through adversity. It's not a talent thing. They got just as good of players as anybody in the NFL.
It's not.
It's a culture thing.
Yes, and that's what Dave is talking about. Dave, thanks for the call. And that's what he's talking about. And when you have the window, like we're talking about here with Dallas, and you feel like it's a closing window, you got to pay Dak, you got to figure everything out of everybody else, you're going to have to pay Parsons. Like, you want to make sure that you have everything set up, that you don't have to worry about lack of execution, lack of culture, lack of preparation. You want to have all of that taken care of. Sometimes a veteran coach, an older coach, needs the immediate situation because, like, a coach at that level, you can't have him come into a development situation. We got to come in. We got to develop this thing. He doesn't have time for that. He wants to get right to work. Like, give me the talent. Like, I have talent. I can get right to it. And so Dallas out of anywhere, and I even include Atlanta. You told me you like Atlanta. They have a good roster. They don't have a quarterback. They have to get one. But they don't have a complete roster. They also don't have a culture. They aren't a team that has had pain of losing, and now they want to overcome it. So to drop Bill Belichick in there is not a instant gratification thing. That is a maybe in 2 years they'll have something.
See,
well, he's 73 years old.
I know
you don't think so, but I'm telling you the reality is that's probably that. I mean, they're talking to Mike Vrabel, too, so it's not like they're only dead set on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, well, Harbaugh said, no, thank you.
Well, of course, because that's not a place for him. But Dallas, out of any other place in the league, other than maybe Buffalo, would be a place that you could plug and play Bill Belichick. And no, this is probably only like a two to three year thing. But that's all right because that's the window we've got going. And you have a chance to do something special in those 2 or 3 years with him. And I think that's it. So why aren't other teams interviewing? I think it's because not every situation is ready for somebody like him. But Dallas certainly feels like it is, and Buffalo feels like it is. But outside of that, Bart, tell me the team that has gotten as far as they can get and they can't get over the hump, and you feel like part of it is coaching.
The Chargers.
Yeah, okay, there you go. There's your third one, and we've already talked about that. So it's a very interesting topic, but it is one why I would say if I'm Bill Belichick, don't jump at any job. Jump at the right job, and that might mean just, you know, take a year. Anthony is in Hawthorne. Anthony.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, Bart, I've been dying to talk to you before, so I'm going to the game this weekend, the Ravens game. Cool. I went last weekend. It was awesome. It's an awesome environment, but again, that was C.J. Stroud and the Texans. This is definitely a step up in class, but it's all I think about when I wake up in the morning and when I go to bed. I'm super nervous, and you're my X is an O guy, so I need you to give me some confidence going into this game Sunday. How does the Ravens match up against the Chiefs defense?
Well, first of all, Raekwon Smith and Patrick Queen needs to put a hole in Pacheco's chest. Like, yeah, all that tough guy coming here all brave, running high like that, if you want to, you're going to end up with looking like a pass dispenser. They got to set the tone early with that. Like, ain't no running allowed. And then Kyle Hamilton's going to have to be the all-pro that he is and be able to shut down Kelce and make it difficult so that on the outside, you know, you have to understand your personnel. Like, Valdez-Scantling is the deep guy. Right, so you know that Rice is the guy they give certain things to. If Kadarius Toney's there, he's the gadget guy. So you have to understand your personnel, understand the formations, and understand what Andy Reid's going to do. You have to pay attention early. But if you stop that run game, I just don't think, you know, the Ravens are the much more talented team. And sometimes, like last week, you know, they were able to do that because the Buffalo defense was so unhealthy. This is the healthiest the Ravens has ever been going into the playoffs. And when you talk about everybody's there instead of Marlon Humphreys, probably. You know, so you got guys coming back. Mark Andrews can come back.
Do you think Marlon's going to play?
Who, you talking about Mark?
Marlon.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. But he's a guy – like, Marlon should be able to play these guys because they don't have really a star shutdown receiver. You face that within your division, better guys in your division. When you think about, you know, going against Pickens, you think about going against Chase, Higgins, you shut those type of guys down, you should have no problem, but you can't be arrogant with it because as soon as you don't respect that, that's when they get over and they beat you. You know, Marlon can get lazy sometimes, give up big plays. They're going to have to stay locked in, dialed in, and understand that they're the better team. And Lamar's going to have to put pressure on them on the other side. You know, if you look at how, you know, Buffalo was able to run the ball against them, the Ravens should be able to run the ball, and Lamar's going to have to be ready just simply for those blitzes because they know they can't sit back and let Lamar you know, Pat burped the baby, so to speak. He's going to have to use his legs, but also at times he's going to have to threaten with his legs and throw over the top.
All right, Anthony, so we'll see how the Ravens do, but that's going to be a fun game. I mean, there's a lot in that game. There's so many different storylines.
Right. We can say a rivalry new because we haven't seen this rivalry because, you know, even though the Ravens, when Lamar got hurt, was leading the divisions, they never could make it to the postseason simply because of the injuries.
Let's take Arthur in the car. Arthur.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. We'll talk about the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first game or two when we got Anunoby, for some reason our bench looked good. He seemed like he was running Randall with the second bench, and Randall was making better plays then. He was catching Deuce. Deuce was hitting threes, and Grimes was hitting threes. He was a playmaker, and it seemed like they went away with that. It doesn't seem like we need a starter in with that bench.
You do have a starter.
Four bench guys.
Well, you do. You do. It's four bench guys and OG Anunoby. He ended up getting that role because they want to get OG some shots. They want to get OG involved in the offense and get him comfortable as a focal point. And it's something that he can't be when he's playing with Randall and Brunson, which is the majority of his minutes. So it's an opportunity to get OG going as a scorer, which is, I think, something he wants. Look at his shots per game when he came to this team. It went down. And so no player wants that. They want to get their shots, and this is an opportunity to do that. So they're trying to help him find his way as a bit of a focal point with the bench players. That's what changed. And Randle is staying in his regular rotation instead of moving him to different, because he's more comfortable. Randle's comfortable when you can give him the first quarter. And so they didn't want to mess him up either. Remember, Barrett used to play those minutes with the bench. So they gave it to OG, and they're asking OG to kind of do the same thing as RJ, which is, you know, this is your time to shine. You don't worry about having to defer.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem like he's comfortable, regardless of whether he wants it or not. It doesn't seem like he's comfortable in that role.
Right, but Arthur, don't you have to give him an opportunity?
He's pushing.
But Arthur, don't you have to give him an opportunity to just give him a few games until he gets, like, let's see how this works?
Yeah.
You can't just do it one game and then say, forget it. So you give him some time and you see how that works. And then if it's clearly not going the right way, then you're going to make an adjustment. But that's why. You ask me why, and I'm just telling you why. I mean, that's the best I can explain is why they're doing it.
Right. I mean, because in early on, Deuce was looking excellent. To me, Deuce is more of a catch-and-shoot guy.
Yes, he is.
Get Deuce and Grimes,
right,
catch-and-shoot. But when you ask Deuce to come in and make plays and run the point and run, you know, he struggles.
Yes.
You know,
like,
and
Arthur,
it seemed like when Randle was in that role.
Yeah, they make him the playmaker.
When Randle was in that role with the bench and he was getting rid of that ball,
right,
the bench was looking good.
But Arthur, I'm telling you,
struggling lately.
You're absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I'm just explaining to you how a coach thinks. The whole idea is okay, but we don't want to take Randle out of what he's comfortable with, which is the first quarter and the rotation and how you play players so they get their proper rest. And so, Anunoby wants to get some shots. He wants to be a focal point at times. So this is an opportunity to give him that. So you have to let him have some games until he finds it. And Deuce, you're asking him to prove that he can be a point guard who can handle the ball and run an offense. You also can't one game say, well, you can't. You got to give him games until he starts to. You got to show him film, give him live action, let him figure it out. And in that time, you have a trade deadline coming. So you assess, and then you tell yourself, all right, we're not seeing enough progress to tell us that Deuce is the answer. So now we got to go trade for a backup point guard, right? Like, so you got to give those, not like one or two games. You got to give it like a block of games, a 10-game run, and see what it looks like and then assess from there. And that's what the deadline's going to tell us. So while everything that Arthur said there is correct, it's not going to change because this is how they want to do it, you know, right now. Edwin in Tribeca. Edwin.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I was on hold for a minute, so I just want to shout out Ray Dinahan. Jake, you guys do a great job blending in different
and Tom topics. And Tom as well, yes.
Oh, Tom too as
yep,
well.
All good.
Get him. I just, before I get to my next point, Alan, can I just ask Bart real quick, based off Tannenbaum's comments?
You just did. Go ahead. Yeah.
Would you go into the season with J.J. McCarthy? We'll go up and trade up and get a second round pick and get a lineman first with the first round pick, or depending if we got to trade back, would you go into the season with J.J. McCarthy, Jacoby Merced, and Aaron Rodgers, and we'll still be able to get those free agents Garrett talk about and Sauce, and still be able to, because I know the free agency's first, but would you go into, because I want to redshirt him, go ahead.
I mean, I think a guy like J.J. McCarthy has some promise. It reminds me a little bit of like Desmond Ridder and what you see in Atlanta. But, you know, that doesn't mean that he can't be successful. He's a guy that's a mobile quarterback. Who knows? He gets to sit for a couple of years and sit behind two veteran quarterbacks where he really gets to learn. He doesn't count against the roster because you can put a guy up the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback, and he doesn't count against your game day count. And then he can develop. And then let's see if you can strike gold and find your next Kirk Cousins or your next Dak Prescott or your next Russell Wilson. I don't think that's a bad plan. I think they definitely are going to draft a young quarterback this offseason and see if, you know, they can, you know, strike gold. You know, but you have to be able to do that because, you know, we all know Zach is out of here. Who knows if they just outright release him or if they find a place for him to get some type of compensation. But I think that's a very good game plan, what they have to do. Go ahead and ask Allen what you got, because I don't want you to run out of time.
Allen, what you think about Grayson Allen, or if not, bringing back Timmy Two Gloves? I know Bart would like that. But Tim Hardaway, or bringing in Grayson Allen to be that depth.
Yeah, then neither team has given up those guys. The Mavs love Tim Hardaway and what he's been able to do for them, especially when if Kyrie's
Luka's
out
hurt,
or Luka's out, Tim Hardaway slides right into the starting lineup and plays very well. And Grayson Allen, I mean, they don't have enough defenders on that team in Phoenix, and that's one thing that he has done.
He has really come into his own playing there,
and I think they love him there. So I don't see either one of those guys, Edwin, you know, even being available. So yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you'd love both of those guys, but no,
Bruce Brown, right? Is if you're looking for a Grayson Allen type?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Brown's
defender.
He's won the championship. He's been there.
He's
been
an integral part of that
on a good team. So he's been there and can fit in. You know, he's not really a great ball handler, so I still need that, right? So like I said, if I'm being greedy, Brogdon and Bruce Brown would be two guys that I would feel like I'd rather have, right? Like if I could do two players, if I can get two, that's the two. I just still going to be very careful with how much I give up for them. All right, we'll continue with your calls at 800-919-3776. And on the Nick topic, I just want to let's take a look at the East right now, because the top of the East, each team has a flaw, has a concern that doesn't make them invulnerable. And that's why it does open the door. If you're Cleveland, Miami, Indiana, or the Knicks, you're looking up at those guys in the penthouse and you're saying, you know what? Each one of you can get knocked off. I'll tell you what each one of them should be concerned about and why the Knicks could be a team that nobody wants to face in the playoffs. All that stuff coming up and your calls as well. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The ESPN New York Superbox Bonanza 5, giving away over $10,000 in cash and prizes. All qualifiers will get a $25 Fanatics gift card and a chance at one of 10 Superboxes with prizes including a big screen TV, Apple AirPods, an Apple AirPods Pro, actually. Get your box for the big game by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning. Our show, of course. We already did that at 12 o'clock hour. And then the Michael Kay Show, which begins here at 3 o'clock. You get a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and a final score payout of $2,000. It's all brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey and Security Dodge. Say it, Bart.
Come get some.
Yes. For full contest details, go to superboxbonanza.com. Let's look at the top of the East real quick in the NBA. Because you have the Boston Celtics, who it just feels like, you know, with when you look at their record, how good they are at home. They're 20-1 at home, 34-10 on the season, best team in the sport, right? They look like they are indomitable. They have an issue with closing games. Now, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. They've only lost 10 games. But they do give leads back. Like, that is something to watch in a series and in playoffs and all that stuff. Their bench has gotten better, but you certainly think that the Celtics aren't going to just go into the playoffs with what they've got, But their starting five is as good as anybody's in the league, and as long as it stays healthy, which with Porzingis is always
you
a concern.
Know. Yep.
Right. And so that's them. But they are right now the standard, the gold standard. Then there's the Milwaukee Bucks. They are 30-13, and you're like, wow, that's a hell of a season. They just fired their coach at 30-13. Why? Because they have the third worst defense in the league. So 30-13 means they are just outscoring you. But that doesn't – we all know in the playoffs that's not sustainable. It doesn't work that way in the playoffs. You don't outscore opponents. Now, I mean, technically you do, I guess. You're supposed to outscore them. That's how you win. But you know what I mean. You don't just blow teams out with your offense and give up a ton of points. It doesn't work that way. You have to have some semblance of defense. Let's see if Doc Rivers, who was just Woj reporting that he will take over as the head coach now. Let's see if Doc changes things there and gets them back to playing some defense.
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
In L.A. with the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
What's the one play that they couldn't stop?
The one play that the Clippers couldn't stop?
Yeah, they got him out of there. He ain't made no adjustments for. It was the pick and roll.
Well, they dominated the pick and roll with the Clippers. They that's what they ran constantly. That was Lob City.
But remember,
they couldn't stop it either because they had Chris Paul who just got swallowed up in screens all the time.
Right. So now you got Dame Lillard. And now you got a 7-foot heavy-footed center too.
Which is why I would watch the Bucks at the trade deadline. I would watch them very carefully at the trade deadline. Yeah. You know, think they want to get some defense in there?
Yeah, you know who they need?
Who?
Nick Claxton.
I watched him last night. Nah, no.
But he's an athletic big.
He is athletic, but he plays small and he can't catch. There's a lot of stuff with him that I didn't like what I saw last night.
Yeah, he should be cheap.
All right, well, let's go down the line. So Philadelphia 76ers are third. 29-13 sounds like a really good record, right? They're 17-6 at home, which is really good. Let me give you another record. Do you know what they are when Embiid doesn't play? 3-7. Now, it's only 10 games, right? That's not so bad. It's only 10 games. But why doesn't he play? He's managing a knee that gets inflamed at times. And
you see Kawhi do it. We see Kawhi do it.
Yeah, he fights through it. But his whole thing is always getting to the finish line, still able to play at a high level. And every time we get to the playoffs, that seems to be a problem. So watch Embiid and see where he is. It's not about right now, because right now he's playing out of his mind. I mean, he's playing as good as you've ever seen him play. He's playing great. But in April and May, where is he going to be physically? Where's that knee going to be physically? Because if he's not available or not near 100%, the Sixers are not the same team, especially if they don't have James Harden. Tyrese Maxey has had a great year. But look at that roster and take away Joel Embiid, and you see a team that wins 3 out of 10. That to me is the biggest concern. If you're in Philadelphia, your worry is that all of your hopes are resting on one guy's knee, and that's it.
Well, isn't that for anybody though? Because isn't the Clippers' hopes resting on the knee of Kawhi?
Well, you also have Paul George and you have James Harden. That's why you do that.
Yeah, but with no Kawhi, it's a wrap.
Yes, yeah, of course. Well, I mean,
to win a championship,
yeah, of course. But I'm talking about even just competing. I mean, the Sixers haven't gotten out of second round. It's all about Embiid, and Kawhi, did you watch him last night? He doesn't look like that knee's bothering him at all. He looks great. Embiid, though, every couple of nights, keep an eye on him, and then he's dragging his leg up the court, and he's just fighting through it. But he's just been so efficient this year, his numbers are off the charts. But as I watch him, that 70-point game was an impressive performance, but it wasn't like I was watching a guy that had a whole lot of energy in his body and really was moving around well. It's a guy that is just really efficient, really smart, really strong, and a great scorer. But April and May, as we've seen with this team, so like I said, no one is – there's no Chicago Bulls. There's no Golden State Warriors here is what I'm saying. Like there are – these teams are not, oh, we're never going to beat them. You can in certain situations. But this thing's jumbled, Bart. You are talking about the seventh-place team of the Pacers, and they're 24-20. And they are essentially like, you're talking about like a 3.5-game difference from fourth place to seventh place. So there's four teams that are right now, the Cavs, the Knicks, the Heat, and the Pacers, who are all jumbled up in this middle part, the midsection of the East. And you don't want to be seventh because you don't want to be in the play-in. So, man, there's four, like a team like the Knicks, and everybody's talking about it. They're 10 games over 500, and you look at one or two moves at the deadline, not massive moves, not headline moves, not blockbuster deals. I'm talking about a shrewd, smart addition here, addition there, right kind of piece. The Knicks could be a very dangerous team. And I'm look, anybody that knows me has known when I've talked about this team, I have always acknowledged the flaws and concerns and that they're not there yet and they're not there yet. But I have watched this team enough this season. I've seen what they've got chemistry-wise and culture-wise that they've got built within this group, that it does give me some anticipation that I think they could be that team you don't want to face. They've got to add two pieces, I think, to the bench. And if they do, Bart, they're legit.
Are they willing? What are they willing to give up to get it?
Well, you can't overpay for what I think they need.
Well, Brogdon, you're definitely going to have to overpay for.
Well, overpay or just pay what the going rate would be for a guy like that.
It's going to be a market for that guy.
Of course there is. Yeah, someone like him, smart player. Yeah, there'll be a market. Of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do you do that or do you do – here's the other thing that
Why wouldn't Boston want him back?
They love Peyton Pritchard. I think they're pretty comfortable there.
I thought you said they need some depth. They bench.
Well, no, their bench. I said their bench has played better.
Okay,
it really has. It has come along since the beginning of the season, which everybody thought it was a concern, but it's gotten better and better to their credit. Like I said, it's also a part of me that just wants to have a conversation with Kyle Lowry, because I've been told there's nothing left. Like the wheels have fallen off. There's really nothing left at this point. 38. It just doesn't have anything left. But if he's bought out by the Hornets, and he's there, and it's, you know, it's February, it's March, whatever it is, and you just tell him, take 3-4 weeks, get yourself into shape, get your body right, whatever you need to do, and then before there's a deadline that you can sign players so they're eligible for the playoffs, we'll sign you, and then, you know, you come on this run. He would be on paper the right fit. His high IQ, smart, you know, good, you know, can handle the ball, can run an offense, just, you know, can shoot the three, a lot of things there. But it'd be very, very cheap, be very cost effective. But it's also a risk, because if I tell him, go ahead and take, you know, take 3-4 weeks and get your body right, and then he comes back and he's even heavier, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Nicki Minaj.
Exactly. So, but I just wanted to point out, like, the top of the East, when everybody talks about how, you know, you're not going to get into the level of the Celtics and the Bucks and the Sixers, it's like, no, you're not going to in everybody's eyes, but don't tell me that you don't have a puncher's chance against any of these teams with depth and what you got out of that starting five as long as everybody's healthy. I mean, if you don't get Isaiah Hartenstein back, forget it. You know, like, they have to make sure that he's okay, which it sounds like he's day-to-day. And Mitchell Robinson, we haven't talked about, but he wants to try to come back by the end of the season. If you get that.
Is this an Aaron Rodgers thing, though, where you might say, hey, man, nah, man.
Yeah, you might, because you don't want it to be a long-term thing.
Right, we good.
But I'm telling you, if you have that and one or two smart bench moves at the deadline, I do believe, and I haven't said this in years, I do believe the Knicks could be a really tough out in the playoffs, a team that it would not shock me to get even as far as the Eastern Conference Finals, and who knows, you know, again, more. That's what they've got. That's what they've got brewing right now, and I have not felt like this about this team in a long time. Anyways, 800-919-3776. We got calls to finish up with, a little Bart Stradamus to take you home before we hand it off to the K-Show, but I've got something for you, Bart Scott. You know what I've got for you?
Come get some?
No, I don't have come get some. But if you've been watching the NFL playoffs from the sidelines, there's still time to get in on the game with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers bet this Sunday's conference championship games with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up a dub. And you got to listen to Lunch Money on Friday. Alex Monaco is going to join us, and we're going to go through the picks, because he had a pretty good divisional round performance, Bart. So if you want to follow maybe Alex's picks or anything else, go to FanDuel right now. Get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen to join today. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Allen, make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and physically present in New York, first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh. It is time.
Oh, yes.
Time for Barstradamus.
Only three more weeks of Barstradamus left before I return to the dark side.
It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. So let's get right to it, Barstradamus.
I don't do this cold weather. Three more weeks of Barstradamus, and I shall go to the dark side where it's warm.
Go to hibernate. All right, so tell us what you're seeing then in the future.
I'm seeing teachers. Architects of organizations. I'm seeing coaching landing spots as they are coming close to their conclusion.
Oh, first let's start off on the left side. Many believe it's the best side. Oh, yes. Who's got it better than the Chargers?
Nobody.
Nobody. As they finally make the decision to bring Jim Harbaugh, the comeback kid, back to California. But oh, now instead of going to the championship in the Super Bowl with the 49ers, he may say, go Chargers, go. So it is said, Alan.
All right, so it shall be.
And oh, so it shall be.
Wow, so the Chargers actually opening up the purse strings and getting in Jim Harbaugh. That's a big one. Okay, anything
the
else?
The dirty, dirty South.
Oh, no.
I've had mixed signals with this one. Oh, I seen a familiar friend, a Sith Lord, a fellow Dark Side resident. Oh, but no Lou sweet lemon pepper wings for Bill as his young disciple takes his spot in his seat at the throne. Oh, Mike Vrabel comes and sticks the victory out of the grasp of Bill Belichick. And we shall see Bill, oh, yes, on network television.
Oh, no.
And I find your lack of faith disturbing.
And he's so articulate. Oh, but he has bigger plans. Blue plans.
Oh, really?
That she'll take time to develop. More spells has to be cast.
I will finish.
More darkness.
What you started.
Has to cast. As Bill sits a year out and he eyes the seat of Big Blue. A prodigal son returns. But not so fast.
No.
So it is said, Alan.
The Force. It's calling to you.
So it shall be. Sometimes you win. Oh, to later lose. Be wary.
very wary as the architects are beginning to build.
That's ominous. That was an impressive Barstradamus. Brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management for a pain-free life. Visit samwellpain.com today. To recap, we have Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, Mike Vrabel emerging in Atlanta, and Bill Belichick hovering, doing some network TV for a year, and then suddenly maybe merging back.
The Force.
That's not the one I wanted to hit. That's not the one. Anyways, it was this one.
I will finish what you started.
Belichick talking to Parcells. Ooh, that gave me chills. I'll tell you what, though, Bart. That is a scenario, in a way, I'm kind of rooting for. Not that I like Brian Daboll, but it just, to me, there's such a great story to that.
Well, I would love for us to buy it and force him to have to talk to me every week.
We get him as a weekly. Actually, he'd have fun with us. He would, yeah. Like everybody else does. You have fun on the K-Show. That's coming up next. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.